Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We turn to our first praise, Psalm number 98, and we're singing verses 1 to 4, and the tune is Andrew, O sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he hath done, his right hand and his holy arm in victory hath won. Psalm 98, verses 1 to 4, and the tune is Andrew. Is to be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're reading from the 10th verse. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in the house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and all is thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart have I willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes, and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David, submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honour. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. With all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Amen. May the Lord give the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Our second praise is Psalm 29. We're singing verses 1 to 4, and the tune is Winchester. Psalm 29. Verses 1 to 4, Give ye unto the Lord ye sons, that of the mighty be, all strength and glory to the Lord, with cheerfulness give ye. Psalm 29, verses 1 through to verse 4.
Give ye unto the Lord ye sons, that
Lord,
We come again to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the kingdom. Thou art a great God. Who are we, O Lord, to come before thee? Yet we come because we are mindful that thou art a God of amazing grace and wondrous mercy, and thou dost accept us through the beloved. We thank thee again for this privilege, this blessed privilege of being able to turn unto thee in prayer. And as we do so, we come humbly. We have nothing to boast of ourselves. O Lord, our hope is because of thee. We come in that posture of humility before thee this evening, praying that thou would remember us and accept us through the beloved. We thank thee there is access, there is fellowship. What blessings these are. And we would seek thy face and the light of thy countenance this day, O Lord. May we know a little of the smiling of thy face, the light of thy countenance. O Lord, look upon us favourably as thy people. Though we be separated one from another as a congregation, we thank thee that we are not separated from thee, that we know thy blessing and thy help. O Lord, look favourably upon us. We thank thee for our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings through him. We thank thee he came into this world, having agreed to the condition of life, and he fully and completely met that condition. Oh, what a wonderful Saviour and friend. We thank thee he kept the law perfectly for us, and he suffered in full the breach for the penalty of the law as our substitute. Oh, what a wonderful Saviour, who went all the way to the cross of Calvary, and there died for us. Oh, what love. We thank thee we were loved in those dying moments, and we are still loved by Jesus. May we be aware of his love. May we taste and see that thou art gracious, and may we be conscious of the love of Christ. We thank thee for the angel of the Lord, our blessed Redeemer, who encompass round about us. Oh, be near to us. Be thou our defence, as we sing in Psalm 89. Our glorious King, our Defender, be near to us, protect us. Be with us in our dwellings, O Lord, this day. Be near. We think of the children of Israel all those years ago, when they were in their own homes. O Lord, we pray for ourselves. Be near to us. Help us, O Lord. Bless again thy word to us, O Lord. We beseech thee. Speak to us through thy word. May we be left today recognizing thy greatness and how small we are, yet we are the apple of thine eye, so loved and so cared for, so protected by thee. Oh, may we be lost in wonder today. May we have this great awe of thee. Oh, for a greater view of thee today, for a greater vision of thee by faith and in thy word. Bless thy word, help in the preaching, give liberty, give strength in these unusual circumstances. Be alongside thy servant and all who minister thy word today. We would again pray for this nation, and we would pray for it. We have offered many a prayer, and we would pray earnestly for this nation. We thank thee for the encouragement of the Christian Institute to spend this week praying particularly for this nation and how we need such blessing. O Lord, thou art the God of power. And we pray, O Lord, in thy power, remember us and bring us through this time, O Lord. O, we pray, have mercy upon us. Focus in our walk, O Lord, to humbly walk with thee day by day. Help us to so follow thee. We need that closer walk with thee. Help us in our walking. Keep the devil away, O Lord. May not doubts arise in our hearts so often, O Lord. O, help us in our walk, to walk in Christ, to walk with thee, to walk before thee, as certain ones of old did. May we be aware of thee. Help us to walk in thy commandments. Bless thy word to us. Help us to be so following thee. May we know a little again of that hard religion in our souls. Oh, touch our hearts. Warm us, O Lord. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ who drew near to those two on the road to Emmaus on the day of resurrection. And through the word their hearts were warmed as the Spirit applied it. May we know a little of that today, we pray. We pray for one another in the congregation here, our friends and our families. We commit them to thee. Those that love thee, draw alongside them and direct them. For any who are strangers to grace, O Lord, open hearts. And we do pray in these days and in these days following. Heaven would be taken by storm, that many would cry out to thee, O Lord. May men and women take note of what is happening and consider eternity and the need they have to be right with thee, the need they have to have Christ as their Saviour. Oh, we pray many would seek thy face. We give thee thanks for our daily bread, the homes we live in, the food we eat. We give thee praise. O Lord, meet our daily necessities this coming week. Go before us as a people. Undertake, we pray. We would remember the care home in Fordingbridge. We thank thee for that opportunity. And we pray for the residents there. We thank thee for good news so far. And we pray that thou would keep them and protect them. We pray for the staff there. Lord, protect them, and as further opportunities are had this week, and in weeks and months in the future, we trust, may it be a fruitful time. O Lord, O hear us then. We look unto thee, keep us waiting upon thee in expectation. Increase our hearts, increase our faith, draw us nearer, have the glory. Hear our prayer, Lord. Please, we ask of thee, hear our prayer and answer it. Send us thy salvation, thy delivering grace. Hear us, O Lord. Thine be the glory for Christ's sake. Amen. Our third praise is Psalm 131. We're singing verses 1 to 3 of the tune Humility. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty be, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me. Psalm 131, verses 1 to 3, and the tune is Humility.
My heart not
if you would turn with me to the Word of God, to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we read again from verse 10 down to verse 15. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through to verse 15. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this salt? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us at this time. Dear congregation, we read in Revelation 4 verse 11 these words, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is so worthy. He is to be praised. Not us. For who are we compared to God? For he is so great, and we are so small. Not unto us. We are not deserving. But he is. He is so worthy. Oh, consider his greatness here today. What a God he is. Let his name be praised. Now David was aware near the end of his life, as he uttered this prayer unto the Lord in the presence of the congregation, of his own smallness, but then in comparison of God's greatness. And we see this contrast here, do we not, in this prayer. Now let us for a few moments come directly to these verses and consider two things which are a great contrast. First of all, our smallness. Then secondly, God's greatness. Our smallness and God's greatness. First of all, let's consider our smallness. This is what David does in this humble prayer which he utters unto the Lord in the presence of the congregation. Our smallness. He considers how great God is and how small he himself, that is David, was. He feels so small. Now come with me to verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. He feels so small. Now as we note, in the earlier part of the chapter, there have been an offering, these many things that were offered. Yet David recognizes that in the offering which he had given and others, that it was because of the Lord they had that which they had to offer. David recognizes the great hand that first had given. It was a gift. Just notice what David says in verse 14, But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You see, he's so humble. He recognizes where the good has come from, where the blessings. It was a gift, and they're returning a little of the gift which the Lord had given to them. In James 1 verse 17 we read, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Gifts of God's bounty sent to us. You know, we're living off the bounty of God. What a great God he is. Oh, how he has given. Given to us. We give. We bring our offerings. recognizing that he is first given to us. All that we have is because of God. As we think of this, are we not led to consider our smallness? Remember those words of the apostle in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through to verse 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We brought nothing in, and it is certain we carry nothing out. Considering what we have, the good that we have, it is because of God, isn't it? And when we're able to give, it is because of God. Yes, we rightly consider one goes out to work. And they come in and their sleep is sweet, as we read in the book of Proverbs. Another may be doing the cooking in the home. But it is the Lord that gives strength to the one to go out to work, and the one to work in the home and to provide the meal, to so use what he has provided. The Lord gives strength. Are we not so small when we consider this? We live and move and have our being because of him. We need him. He does not need us, and I say that carefully. In his amazing grace, he has saved us and he uses us. But let me say, he doesn't need us, as we consider one perspective, but we so need him. We need him because we're so small and weak. Oh, we need him. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we are so precious to the Lord. We're precious. And as we see in Psalm 116, the death of his saints is precious. Precious to him. We're precious to the Lord, yet I begin with myself. I am so small, so very small. David says here in verse 14, but who am I? And what is my people? Who am I? Now David, as we know, was a great king. And the nation had been blessed. Yet, as he considers the greatness of God, he feels his own smallness and the smallness of the nation. Who am I? And what is my people? Who am I? Says David. So sinful, so small, so unworthy of God's favour in a special way. And do not we find ourselves echoing such? We're so sinful, we sin against the Lord, we fail him. We're so small and we're so undeserving of the Lord's bounty. Yet he blesses us. Stop and consider, we are so undeserving of the favour of Jesus Christ. Consider what he did for us here upon earth. Did we deserve him to come? No. Think what he did for us in the time of love. Did we deserve such? No. We can think of certain heroes, men and women who have been a great help to individuals or to a nation. We can think of Churchill that was raised up and Florence Nightingale. And we acknowledge such, yet in comparison to God, so small. And we feel so small. So small. So sinful. So small. So undeserving of God's favour, of God's bounty. Oh, just pause and consider that. As you're feeling your smallness, are you not led to consider the greatness of God and the greatness of his favour and his love and his mercy? Are you in awe of God? Is there someone listening on? You're not in awe of God. You think yourself to be something and you do not have much time for God. Oh, that you be humbled by grace, that the mountain would be brought low, there would be a humbling by grace, and that you be in awe of God. What a great God he is, and how small we are. At certain times men think themselves to be so great. Stop and consider. We are so small. Think of the nations. We read in that well-known chapter, Isaiah 40, verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. So small are the nations of the world. Young people, you can think of certain superpowers such as the USA, Russia, China. We can think of the United Kingdom, and particularly the great influence it had. We think of the British Empire that once spread around many parts of this world. We think of the United Kingdom, it's called Great Britain. Yet what are the nations compared to God? There's 195 listed countries in the world. Yet what are the countries? What are the nations? Well, Isaiah makes it plain. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. You children, you think if you were to take a spoon and fill it up with water and then take it over to a bucket, not trying to spill the water, and then over the bucket you allow just one little drop to fall into the bucket. You may see it fall in. You may see a little splattering at the bottom, but you'd hardly notice it. And if you look into the bucket, there's hardly anything there. So small. Think of the nations. So small. Just a drop of a bucket. And I count it as a small dust at the balance. Just so small. Just a small dust. Oh, consider the greatness of God in comparison. You think of the nations. A drop in a bucket. Think of one individual then. So small. We're so small, aren't we? Notice what David says in verse 15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. And we're led there to consider not only our weakness, but also how little we are. We're strangers, sojourners, just here, sojourners, just here for a while. Though they possessed the land, and as Gil said, they were tenants in it, they were so small in comparison to God. You consider God, Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, the earth is the Lord's. They were just strangers, there just for a while. Oh, what a great God we have. Everything belongs to him. And yes, we're so blessed through him. And we have a glorious inheritance because the Lord is my portion. Yet we're strangers and sojourners. You recall those words in Hebrews 11 verse 13, which were written in view of Abraham, Sarah and others. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So small, and we are, aren't we? God owns this world. We're just strangers. We're just pilgrims going through. So small. And then consider our lives here upon earth. What do we read here? What did David say in prayer? Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. As a shadow. You think of a shadow, it's there, and often it's soon gone. You may be sat out in the garden on a hot sunny day, and the sun is out, and it's clear blue skies, but then you see some clouds coming, and the cloud comes, and it casts a shadow. And it comes over you, and you sit in the shade, and you feel a little cooler, and maybe something you desire. But then you see the shadow departing, you know, remember watching the shadows depart often as a child. It's a little darker, then suddenly you see the shadow going. It quickly goes. Well, it's like life, isn't it? It quickly passes. Now we have an immortal, never dying soul, but life here upon earth passes so quickly. It's so short. Death soon will come knocking at the door of our lives if the Lord does not come first. Consider God now. He was there before time, before this world was made, and has dwelt in eternity and does so at this very moment. Oh, what a great God. He dwells in eternity How small are our lives here upon earth? They're like a shadow. And what do we read at the end of the verse? These are interesting words. And there is none abiding. The Hebrew word, which is translated as abiding, can be translated as confidence, hope, expectation. And we think here of abiding here for a while, of having a long life, living here for year after year, forever, we could say. No. Or as a shadow, and there is none abiding. We're only here. The average age is 70, 80 if the Lord gives strength. But oh, how short is our lives compared to God. We're so small, our lives as a shadow. There is none abiding. Matthew Henry says, no hope of any long continuance. Now we are not led to consider here how David feels his smallness. Do you? Let me ask you, do you feel your smallness as you think of these things? Are you amazed, therefore, that you are in fellowship with God? You know he dwells with the humble. Those that have been humbled by grace, led to consider their sin and convicted over it, and led to consider their total need of Jesus. Or are you in fellowship with such a great God? Are you in awe? Because you know you're so small. What a blessing to know God, to be in fellowship with him. What do we read in Isaiah 57 and verse 15? For thus saith the High and the Lofty One, that inhabiteth of eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Those who are humble, those who feel crushed, they feel their sin, but they've been led unto Jesus. He dwells with them. He who inhabits eternity dwells with us, dear brothers and sisters. What a thought that is. Oh, I feel my smallness. For any without Christ, have you yet felt your smallness before such a great God? Who am I? Says David. Who am I? Are you saying that before the Lord? Oh, to be more aware of the greatness of God in prayer and our smallness. Who am I? So sinful, so unworthy, so small, yet favoured by the Lord and saved by grace and therefore precious to him. Take comfort, though we are so small. We are the apple of his eye. He so cares for us with such tender care. He so protects us. He so loves us. He will not forsake us. Many will let us down. Others will look down on us as the Lord's people, but not the Lord. He counts us as jewels. Malachi 3 verse 17, jewels. Precious, we may be small, but we're a jewel. Malachi 3 verse 17, think there of the jewels, jewels covered by the righteousness of Christ. Jewels because grace is displayed and appears. Jewels because they're precious to him. You think of a ring, you ladies, and you've got some jewels there. They're precious. Some ring, some piece of a precious piece of silver or gold, and it's precious. Oh, we're precious to the Lord. Oh, we're small. We're precious. We're dear to him. How amazing. Who am I? Who am I? We feel our smallness, but we're a jewel. Are you a jewel to the Lord? Are you seen as a jewel? Because you're covered by the righteousness of Christ. Grace appears. There's faith, there's love. Are you precious to him? How do I know if I'm precious to Jesus? If I've believed in him. If I've gone to him by way of faith. Though I'm so small, precious to Jesus. And I can know him. And he will not forget me. Well, let's move on and consider secondly. God's greatness. God's greatness. Come with me to verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. David here, whilst being aware of his smallness, is in awe of the greatness of God. Oh, that there would be such an awe in the Church of Jesus Christ in these days. An awe of God, we pray for it yet in the nation. Oh, that this nation would be found on its knees, in awe of God, so holy, so just. But oh, that many of them would be in awe of his mercy and grace in finding salvation through his grace. Oh, that we would be in awe of God. Or if we learn one thing today, let it be this, that we are to be in awe of such a great God. Now what does David say here in verse 11? Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. David says, but who am I? But it belongs to the Lord, and we ascribe it to him. Remember the words of the Shorter Catechism for children. It's so helpful, isn't it? What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. Oh, what a God he is. He's infinite, no bounds, no limits. You children, you can't do it at the moment, can you? But the Lord willing, it won't be too long, we trust and pray, before you can make a visit to the beach again, and you can make your sandcastles, and there on the beach, you think of the sand just on one particular beach. You could think of Aden Beach. Think of all the beaches of the world and all the grains of sand. There's so many we could never count them, could we? But there is a number known unto the Lord. There is a limit, but there's no limit to God. He's infinite. What a blessing to know such a God who is infinite. He's eternal. As we have seen, he dwells in eternity at this very moment. Oh, the Lord is very helpful, is he not, to inspire Isaiah to write those words in Isaiah 57, verse 15. He inhabited eternity. It helps us to understand a little, doesn't it? He inhabits eternity at this very moment. We're in time, he inhabits eternity, yet he dwells with us. Thirdly, he's unchangeable. Malachi 3 verse 6, for I, the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, I'm so thankful he does not change. If he did, there'd be no hope of heaven, no hope of the heavenly world, no hope in salvation. But there is, because he does not change. For I, the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What change we have witnessed over these past few weeks, 5 weeks nearly now. This is the fifth Lord's Day in lockdown. And what we have witnessed, change, things we would have never dreamed would have happened, but how quickly things have changed. But God does not change, and that's our great comfort, isn't it? God hasn't changed. Think of your beloved Redeemer, your Saviour, Jesus Christ the Saviour, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, look on him who changes not. How great he is. How small we are, because we're subject to change. We get older, we get weaker. Sometimes our faith may be strong, sometimes it's weak. God changes not. One of old wrote, change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Oh, he's so great. As we think of his greatness, I am so thankful he does not change. Now in Psalm 48 verse 1, we read, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. Do we not see a little of that here in this prayer? How David so is taken up with God and has zeal and has effort in his prayer. Oh, to know a little more of that. It may not be eloquence, But a prayer from the heart, sincerely offered, is offering praise in a great way to the Lord. He's so great. He's so holy. Think of the greatness of his holiness. Infinitely holy. He's so pure. He hates sin. Habakkuk 1 verse 13. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. He does not look on with pleasure, nor does he approve. He hates. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. He does not approve. He does not take pleasure. Oh, what a great God he is. So great in holiness. Yet this great and infinite God of holiness draws near to men and women, boys and girls. Oh, what condescension. I think of my beloved Saviour. He saw me polluted in my sin, yet he drew near. Oh, what a great Saviour. What a great friend I have. Oh, what a great God I have in my life. This leads me to consider the greatness of his grace. It's amazing grace, isn't it? We'll never get to the end of the grace of God. So great is God's favour towards David here. You remember again what we considered a few weeks ago? What Ruth said to Boaz, the Redeemer. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, Ruth 2 verse 10, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Oh, think of the Redeemer. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Such amazing grace. Are we not thankful for it? As we consider what's happening, we consider the great sorrow and the death that is taking place because of the spread of this virus. Are we not thankful for God's special grace? Yes, we consider God's grace, which is seen as common. He gives wisdom to doctors and nurses. You may be listening on, you're not a Christian. Oh, that you would yet know God's grace in a wonderful and special way. Saving grace. And then supporting grace. Oh, consider the greatness of the grace of God. It's like a mighty ocean. Children, you think of the Atlantic Ocean. It's a vast ocean, isn't it? Oh, think of the vastness of God's grace. It's like a mighty ocean. And the ocean comes around you, dear child of God. And you're found in the ocean of God's grace. Think of his mercy. Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, verse 11, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Think of that great distance. Think then of the mercy of God is far greater. You children, if you're able tonight, look up in the night time at the sky. Consider the stars. Hopefully we'll see the stars tonight. It's a clear day. Do you think how great the universe is? How great heaven is? Oh, then consider the greatness of God's mercy. Oh, what mercy. In Ephesians 2 verse 4 we read, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Think of his mercy so great. Think of his love. The greatness of God's love for his great love wherewith he loved us. So great. It's eternal. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, consider the greatness of his grace, mercy, and love. Consider how the Lord loves you now. He loves you with such a strong love. He loves you with such a great love. And in his love, he will not let you go. He loves you so much. You will always be the object of his love, of his great love. How wonderful is God. Now for a moment consider the greatness of King Jesus. He is God. In Psalm 48 verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The city of the great king. What a blessing to be in the city of the great king. To be in the church of Jesus Christ. We can think of Jerusalem then. Think of Jerusalem as the church now, as we see in Hebrews. Oh, what a blessing to be in the city of the great King. to know what it is to dine with him. Oh, consider him and bow your heart before Jesus now. Just do this. Bow your heart. He's so worthy. Revelation 5 verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, how great he is. So worthy of praise. Consider what he has done for us. Consider what he did as he came into this world. And what he accomplished for us. Consider he is on the throne tonight reigning over us. How he defends us. We have a king over us. We have a king in front of us. We have a king who walks alongside us. Oh, let our eyes be focused on him. Focus your eye on the great king. In Hebrews 12 verse 2 we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look unto your King, your Redeemer, your Deliverer. Look unto Jesus. Are you looking? Is there someone here you're looking in the wrong direction? Look unto Jesus. You remember Spurgeon? He went into that chapel. He was looking in the wrong direction, and he was told so. But then through grace, he looked in the right direction. Are you looking in the right direction? You who are, keep exercising faith. Look unto Jesus. Oh, we think here of the greatness of God. Let's just open this up a little further as we draw to a close, as we consider these words here. As we think of the greatness, we read in verse 11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And so on and so forth. We're led to consider further aspects of his greatness. And these things magnify the greatness of God. First of all, let's consider his power. It's infinite. Oh, think of the power of God. He spake and this world was made. And he's sustaining this world. He's giving us the air to breathe. Think of his power to deliver one from the bondage of sin. His power to save. Oh, what a powerful voice it was. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Have you heard his voice, his powerful, effectual voice? Oh, what power to deliver, what power to save. You recall the disciples after hearing of the difficulty of a rich man being saved, they said this to our Lord, who then can be saved? You haven't lived to that point, who then can be saved? There seems to be such hardness of heart. Well, we're told this in Matthew 19 verse 26, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, he's beholding us, he knows. He knows if we're struggling and there's lack of faith as we look around. He beholds us and he says to us, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He's able to save rich men. He's able to save poor men who have the gospel preached to them. He was able to save me. Therefore there is hope for us. If you're without Christ, let me tell you, God has the power to deliver you from bondage. He is able. Consider further, he has power to support. Those precious words in Deuteronomy 33 verse 27, The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms, dear child of God, the arms are there to support you, to carry you. Underneath the everlasting arms. His arms are underneath the individual. That's precious, isn't it? Because we're precious to him, his arms are under us. We think of the hands of the Saviour in the Song of Solomon. One is under the head, the other is used to embrace, to assure us of his love. The hands are there, the arms are there, supporting each individual. But then the church as a whole. How strong are the arms of God. Think of new converts. young converts in the arms of the shepherd, Isaiah 40 verse 11. And young children who come to faith, where are they? In the arms of the shepherd. If you're there, all will be well for you, dear children. If you're believing in him, you're safe in his arms. He'll carry you through the falls, through the floods. He'll carry you through this time, and then one day to heaven itself. He has the young in his arms. He has all his people. He so cares and so supports them. He has power to carry them all. You know, when my children were a little younger, I could pick up a few of them at once, but I couldn't do that now. Maybe I'd pick up one of my boys or another of my boys, but I couldn't pick up all my children at once. You just think of this. God picks up all his children at once, and he carries them all. Oh, rest in him. Those precious words in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, is this nothing with thee to help, whether with many or of them that have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. We're resting on thee, Lord. Let's tell him that. It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. They feel our weakness. It's nothing to the Lord. No problem. Let's tell him what we're doing. Resting on him. He's able to support the church. He's able to bring the church through. Oh, consider the power of God. My grandfather Lewis had strong hands. They were very thick. Perhaps use the word chunky. As a boy, I used to think his fingers and his hands were chunky. And when you gave him a handshake, you could feel the strength in his fingers. Often used to look at his hands and think, well, they're strong. Oh, look at the hands of God by faith. They're so strong. When we think of his power, think of his glory. Oh, consider the greatness of God as you think of the glory. Now, as we think of this word glory, the Hebrew word is translated as ornament, beauty, glory. We're led to consider the excellencies, the beauty, the glory. Think of a bride with a beautiful wedding dress on and jewels shown around the neck and on the front, shown in. The hair hanging down, set just so. The beauty, the glory. Oh, think of the glory of God, his excellencies. Oh, so wonderful. His glory shows to us he is so great. We have then the victory here. The glory and the victory. Victory over men he has. He is sovereign. What did Nebuchadnezzar recognize in Daniel 4 verse 35? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Or say unto, what doest thou? None can stay his hand. He has the power. He has the victory. Consider Jesus. He was victorious over Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Death could not keep him. The grave could not detain him. We have a wonderful Redeemer who was strong and mighty in the battle, who rose victoriously and ascended up into heaven after 40 days, and they sang his praise as the victorious King, the King of glory, the victorious one. Oh, take comfort. Our King is victorious. He will lead us on to victory, therefore. Then we have the word majesty. Just think of the royal greatness, as the Reverend John Brown of Haddington does. The royal greatness, the majesty. Oh, we're led to consider the greatness of God. Then all belongs to him, as David makes plain at the end of verse 11. We think of the kingdom. It belongs to him. He is sovereign. He is king of all the earth. Every king must bow the knee. He is king over his general providential kingdom. Then consider King Jesus. He is king over the special kingdom. What a great God we have. Oh, just consider his greatness. We must leave it there. But there's so much more as we consider in verse 12. Riches and honour. How rich God is. And what bounty he has. What treasures are in his storehouse. Oh, what a God he is. How amazing. We who are so small can be in fellowship with such a great God. Are you in awe of God? Are you amazed that you who are so small know fellowship with such a great God? Well, in conclusion, you notice how David offers praise to God in this prayer as he considers the greatness of God. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Blessed, let him have the honour. Let him be praised. And is that not our desire? That God be blessed. That God be thanked. Notice verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. And praise thy glorious name. We thank thee. There's not much. There's much to bring us sorrow. There's great cause for alarm. But let us seek to thank God every day. Let's stop and thank him for what we have. What Jesus has done. In view of his greatness, thank him. Thank him that we can have fellowship with him. Thank God for his unspeakable gifts. You remember what the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the only mediator between God and man. And through him, we who are so small can have fellowship with such a great God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I have a great God in my life. I am a little man, but I have a great God. Therefore, I have a wonderful future. Let God's name be praised. Here then, David, he feels his smallness, but he's taken up, but he admires the greatness of God. And he's communing here with God. Oh, commune with God. He bids you come. Though you're so small, he bids you come. Dear child of God, you're a jewel. You're precious to him. You're precious. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise, Psalm number 96. And we're singing verses 8 through to verse 13. And the tune is Evangel. Psalm 96, verses 8 through to verse 13. Give ye the glory to the Lord, that to his name is due. Come ye into his courts and bring an offering with you.
Give ye the glory to the Lord, that to
cry out and make a noise.
Let me
O gracious God, we are so thankful that thou art a great and a glorious God. We have been reminded of the greatness of thy holiness, that thou dost hate sin. Yet we have been led to consider the greatness of thy grace, and we so thank thee for it. And we would rejoice in thee, we would bless thy name, we would thank thee. Make us a more thankful people throughout this season of affliction. O Lord, we pray, help us to be thankful for the unspeakable gift. O Lord, we bless thee. In thy power, support us. In thy power, deliver us. In thy power, deliver us from this great affliction in our country and in this world. Deliver, O Lord, we pray, our eyes are upon thee. Bless thy word to us. May we be in awe of thee today, and may we be so thankful that we know Jesus Christ. For any who are listening on and are not saved, if it please thee, thou in thy great power would save them, that they would yet be in awe of thee, having a filial fear in their heart, and that they with us would be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.